All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, got to shout out the sponsors, of course, Sovereign Extracts. You can check them out for some CBD oils, a variety of cartridges, THC, CBD, hybrid options as well. But also a big shout out to USG Canada. They're putting out great apparel for boxers, MMA fighters, and for fans alike. We've got a great fight going at Bellator 251. It is happening on November the 5th, a high-stakes featherweight bout between Jesse Mealy and Janae Harding. And I've got Janae on the show right now. How are you doing there, Janae? I imagine you're situated in the fighter hotel right now and whatnot. How's all of that been going on there?
Really good. I'm good, thank you. And yeah, it's been a little bit different with COVID, but all in all, like, we have a lot of ability to, like, once we're tested, to roam around, and the Mohegan's such a great venue, so it's all been positive. But yeah, just a little bit different for sure.
Yeah, was it a bit of like a contrived kind of travel arrangement to get here? Because obviously you're coming from, you know, quite far away to get to where you need to be for the fight.
Yeah, like, it was so we still just, like, flew as per normal in a sense. Like, that kind of all felt a bit similar to what it's usually like, but it was just sort of, like, I guess a lot less population. Both planes were, like, I guess near empty. We obviously got full rows to ourselves, which was a major perk, which I love, especially when you're traveling.
Yeah.
It was good because, I mean, there was just a few muck-ups, but I think it's just with COVID and everything, everything's a little bit unknown. We got our travel exemptions, I got my visa through correspondence. There's just these little sort of hurdles that we had to go through, but once we got here, I guess that's when all the sort of confinement started, like, obviously more mask wearing. We got our tests on Saturday and had to quarantine Saturday. We were pretty lucky because I got here a little bit earlier, as much as I have obviously more travel than everyone else. I did get here earlier, so I did kind of get released earlier where everyone else was in quarantine. That was definitely a big positive. But other than that, it's kind of just been, yeah, going back to the hotel room, not really hanging out with the public too much and trying not to meddle in with anyone outside of the Bellator kind of bubble. So, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying on that end. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe the circumstances of the present day has maybe changed the training dynamic at all. Like, it seems like you're getting in work at King's Academy of Martial Arts and whatnot. Like, have things been a little different there in a sense, or not so much, being able to adapt pretty casually?
I think, like, the one thing I'm realizing, especially coming over to the US, is I guess just how much less severe it is in Australia. It has been, like, small adapting. Like, I mean, we have, like, new sort of things like COVID marshalling and a cap on our limited on our classes and stuff. So I think it's like 20 or 25 based on the circumference of the gym and the flat the mat space. We can have quite a few people. I'm super lucky again, like, that King's is such a big facility and it's run so professionally that we kind of, yeah, we just get temperature checked when we walk in. We've got the yoga studio upstairs, so those numbers have been capped as well, I think, to like 14. But these are all, like, big numbers considering we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I guess I'm very, very lucky again living in Australia, in New South Wales, where I'm from, where I'm living at the moment. We only have 2 cases in the whole state, so it's a big, big difference jumping from there to here and seeing how much more severe it is, and I guess how things like compulsory mask wearing is a lot more prominent than it is in Australia. So a few adjustments, but honestly, like, now that I come over here, I probably have dealt with a lot less than the guys that are still living in the US.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear everything's been relatively casual over there in terms of case numbers and stuff like that. It also seems, though, that you've gotten in some work, at least in the past, like No Quarter Boxing and martial arts, and obviously you have the pro boxing experience too, but you had a post a little bit ago where you're talking about your jiu-jitsu journey and how it's been a bit of a love-hate relationship in comparison to the striking journey. Like, what do you mean in that regard there?
I think that the environment for jiu-jitsu has had to be almost perfect for me to kind of enjoy it. Sometimes it was sort of just like I was going through the motions and it was a little bit monotonous, pushing at, like, the journey and development of jiu-jitsu, especially in comparison to my striking journey. Like, I love striking and I think I understand it a lot better and in a different light. So therefore I kind of enjoy doing it for a lot like a lot more often. I guess if I have the choice of certain sessions and it's kind of like between jiu-jitsu and striking, a lot of the time I usually choose striking. But lucky enough, like now, coming to a place like King's Academy and someone like Elvis Sinisic, I'm back to sort of my Machado roots, back from where I used to train when I first started MMA on the Gold Coast. Vincent Perry, my original coach, is very similar to Elvis in a sense where they're a lot older. They have that sort of same, I guess, perspective on jiu-jitsu, and therefore it breeds like a really good culture within the gym. And the guys there are phenomenal grapplers. Like some of the best females in Australia are at my gym, and I'm so blessed to kind of have those guys as my training partners. But for that reason, it's sort of just been like a bit of an up and down. I've had to try find my fit to sort of learn to love jiu-jitsu again, and I really feel like that's come out in the last few months being at King's Academy. I'm super grateful.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to hear. I'm happy that dynamic is there and it fosters the growth and curiosity and whatnot. But I've also, in doing my research, seen past instances of you working with, like, you know, Arlene Blancao, for instance, at Zoo Fitness, or the Filipino female national boxing team and stuff like that. In terms of, like, sparring partners and whatnot for this particular fight camp, who have you been getting in a lot of that work with?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to kind of now, Arlene and I used to be from different states and live in different states, but now we live in the same city, so it's been great to be able to catch up with her whenever I can, and try to get a few rounds with her before her last fight especially. And then as well as that, I've got girls like Olivia Ukmar and Courtney Gray, who are both in the recent IMMAF championships that were held on the Gold Coast in Australia, representing Australia. So those guys are super experienced and just great training partners for me. Another professional fighter from Australia is Danielle Hayes. So she's been a consistent training partner for me over the last like 3 years, funnily enough, kind of not followed, but I guess just bumped into each other in places like Thailand and in different gyms across Sydney. So she's someone that I kind of trust as like a regular training partner. And then yeah, the bunch of guys that we have at King's Academy have also been great training partners for me in the way of sparring rounds and MMA rounds. So it's been good.
And also there's a bit of a past with City Kickboxing, and as far as like you trained there a bit, kind of got on the mats a touch. And I mean, you mentioned Elvis Sinisic earlier, just such a pioneer for Australian mixed martial arts. How does it feel to be part of what seems to be this big wave of, you know, growth with Australian MMA on an international scale?
Oh man, it's so fantastic. Like someone like me, who a lot of people don't realize, I did start the sport pretty young. I've been in the scene since I was 15 years old, and been competing since I was 18, and watching the scene evolve during that time, and just seeing the opportunities kind of grow for those that are in Australia. I mean, we are so kind of far away from things that sometimes it was really hard to push ourselves into the international scene. It was back then especially a rarity for people to get signed to these international promotions, whereas now we're clearly making big names for ourselves, like from the amateurs to the pros to the guys in the UFC to guys in Bellator. We're all kind of very, very prominently within the MMA's international scene, and for that reason it's really opening up opportunities for those guys back at home that are maybe just starting out or looking to venture into a career in MMA, and they can kind of see a lot more doors open. I remember when I started, women weren't even in the UFC, especially obviously not Australians, and then there wasn't many Australians, kind of females, getting overseas call-ups. So for me, it was sort of just starting and hoping that these opportunities will open up, whereas the guys now coming through, I really hope this is a great motivator for them to kind of give it their all and show and prove that we have a lot of really, really high-level kids like that are super talented in all of Australia, and that they can kind of kick it with the international scene at a high level.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, and it's cool that you're thinking of like it through the lens of it being able to benefit other people on the come up. That's a great way to be perceiving it. But I kind of wanted to talk about your opponent here and just maybe the familiarity that you have with her. Like, are you a fighter that generally does like avid tape study on your opponent, or do you kind of allocate that to your, you know, trainers and things of that nature more so?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I kind of do a little bit of my own research, but I try not to overspend too much time kind of concentrating on my opponents. I don't really want to, like, I guess, overthink it. And yeah, like you're saying, I sort of allocate the overthinking in a sense to my coaches, because of course those are the guys that I sort of obsessed in a sense to kind of sit there and watch and over and then from that I can get their intellect, and I guess we can both create ideas and game plans based on what we've seen and then kind of go from there. But I'm not really one of those people who likes to overly adapt to each opponent. I obviously always kind of want to be consistent in my own style, stick to my strengths, and not try to change anything too far from what I do, but maybe just increase the things that I'm good at and those that will work well against certain styles. So yeah, a little bit of tape, but not too much.
Yeah, because I imagine sometimes there's situations where you study tape on someone and it's like, oh, they mostly seem like they have these like kickboxing kind of proclivities, but then you fight them and it's like, oh, they've been shooting takedowns this whole fight. So you don't want to get maybe caught up in something like that, I would think.
Exactly. And that's me as well. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have probably studied my tape and all, like, seen from my striking experience. And then, I mean, the last fight especially, I shot for about 3 takedowns. So we're always evolving, especially with COVID. Everyone's had a lot of time to be working hard behind the scenes, so you never know what you're going to get.
Absolutely. And I'm curious about your thoughts on just like the nature of the matchup and as far as like where it's at in that featherweight hierarchy there, because obviously your opponent there coming off of a fight with, you know, former Bellator champ Julia Budd. So is this like a great matchup for you in as far as like where it would put you in the overall featherweight hierarchy, or are you not maybe perceiving it on that kind of end of things?
I mean, in a sense it is. I mean, in a sense it is good that she's kind of just coming off a loss to someone as prestigious as Julia. But it's like such a funny division that we kind of have no clear contenders. Like, I mean, other than Arlene, of course, she was the most clear and deserving of that last title shot. But in a lot of ways, we've got girls that have kind of been this person or lost to this person, and it's kind of giving us all sort of like a similar playing field, that the clear contention isn't as important. So it's sort of hard to read, but it's obviously positive coming away with a win either way, but even more so knowing that she went to a decision with someone as good as Julia, and I guess puts me sort of in the category to start fighting those higher caliber girls and really moving forward towards the title shot after this win. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a great division. I mean, one of the most stacked, probably I would say the most stacked in terms of like, you know, women's featherweight competitors and stuff like that. So just a great division to be seeing in that regard, no doubt. Like, I really enjoy following along with that. But yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about the, I guess, contractual dynamics with the promotion here, because I'd seen an Instagram post a bit ago and it seems like you have like one more fight on your Bellator deal, like beyond sort of this one here and whatnot. So is the strategy to, I guess, move along with Bellator and kind of like get a deal going on with that? Like, is there like a mapped out goal to like get the title and stay with the promotion for a meaningful period of time, or are you not even thinking about that so much?
Yeah, nothing in cement as per se, but funnily enough, I think it's sort of like just before COVID hit, I actually re-signed with these guys for another 4 fights, so I'm actually here for at least another 2 years, I'd say, especially with COVID kind of pushing everything back. So that's, for me, I feel like that's the best place for me right now. It's the best place to develop my experience. Always goal is world championship gold, whether it be in Bellator or the UFC, but mainly in Bellator, because I've spent so much time in this division so far. I would love to be a world champion in a division that is, like you're saying, so stacked and kind of so, I guess, prestigious just with the depth of it. It kind of gives me a little bit more, I don't know, like, I feel like maybe strength, just feeling like I'm not just a world champion, but I'm world champion in one of the strongest featherweight divisions in the world. It would be great to kind of go towards that. But for now, I guess I still know that anything can happen, like, especially with COVID and everything. We're just trying to find the direction, and I'd love to work towards that title within these next 4 fights, but whatever happens after, I guess you never know what's going to happen in the next few years. I'm not necessarily tied down to anything specific, but either way, world championship gold is on the end of the journey, no matter where I go.
Yeah, well, you're definitely a fixture in the division in a big way, and that's really cool to hear that you've signed a more long-term engagement with Bellator there. I think there's a lot of fun matchmaking permutations with the promotion for sure. But I mean, speaking of fun, I was noticing on your social media you seem pretty excited for, Mulan to come out there, and you were even saying that it might be some inspiration for the next fight here. So I'm kind of curious, did the movie end up, living up to expectations? Like, was it like a fun time and everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I was super excited. It's funny because just before it came out, I was like, well, I need to recap, obviously, on the original two Mulans that came out years ago. And it almost made me cry, like, just with the memories of such a great film that has such great sort of ethics going towards it and such a great storyline, especially to young females. I just kind of remember that sort of inspirational and really invigorating feel. So yeah, the new one, it's a live retelling, and it's just as amazing. Like, it's not as, I guess, kiddie, but in that same sense, like, where obviously the viewers that would have watched Mulan back then are a little bit more mature, so it kind of suits that sort of demographic, and it also can suit the kids in the next generation as well. But I really loved it. It didn't have as much kind of jokes and whatnot as per the original cartoons, but it was a lot. Little bit more serious, but the visual effects were amazing, the storyline was amazing, and I still got a lot of inspiration off it, and I love that kind of woman empowerment storyline no matter what it is, so it was awesome.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. It's like very like subversive, empowering kind of stuff in a lot of ways. So I'm glad that you were able to, enjoy that. And yeah, I was kind of curious too. Like, I might check that out now too, because I'm one of those guys that's a little hesitant on sequels sometimes. But I think I might send her now. I got a good recommendation, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Disney Plus. That it should be on there, I guess, new COVID times, but it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll have something to check out in that regard. But in a different segment of the entertainment world, I was noticing that you have the Bose headphones going on, and I thought that was some cool videos on the Instagram there. But to that point, I'm kind of wondering what music you like to train to. Like, are there certain artists or genres that you generally gravitate towards when you're in the midst of training there?
Oh, yeah, that's very true. I always find, for whatever reason, I find music questions so hard because I can never end up deciding on specific bands. But I guess at the moment, this week especially, I've just been concentrating on good vibes. So I've been doing a lot of 660, a lot of Masego, a lot of, I guess, more like chilled out tunes that are, I guess, a little bit jazzy or indie in a sense that kind of create like good little storytells that kind of make you feel good on the inside. So we're sending those vibes into fight week and taking it into the fight.
Yeah, just like a relaxed, composed kind of mindset, and then just get out there and can get maybe again that flow state in the cage more. So like maybe you don't have like the same kind of pent up nerves sort of thing.
Exactly that. You can't feel more than one thing at a time. So if you're kind of fearful or super nervous, I feel like it's more important to sort of be more relaxed and just happy and grateful to be there, and those kind of things will help you shine in your performance. So that's sort of my vibe, my mentality coming into fights. I just want to be chilled and content and mindful and just let everything go.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Understand that mentality for sure. But I want to be mindful of your time and the rest of the schedule you have there. So is there anything you'd want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, Janae?
Oh, nothing too much. Just I guess I'm in fight week. I'm in like the weight cut mode. So just again, like, sending big love to everyone kind of at home who's going through the COVID time at the moment. I'm sure a lot of people have suffered with the loss of loved ones or the loss of their job or the loss of maybe their home, whatever it is, and financial strains at the moment. So yeah, just sending big love to everyone and hoping that everyone kind of keeps their head up and keeps going, because tomorrow's a new day and we can all achieve everything that we need to. It's just hurdles in the road are never ending, but we've got to overcome and move forward. So just sending good vibes to everyone.
Yeah, that's a great thought. Very empathetic and considerate for sure. But I imagine a lot of people are going to be checking out this fight here. Bellator 251. It's going down on November the 5th. Featherweight tilt between Jesse Mealy and Janae Harding. I really appreciate you making some time and giving me some great insights ahead of this fight, Janae. Best of luck with the remainder of the fight preparations and everything. And just have a good rest of your night, too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.